Amy Adams and Glenna Close, I think, brilliant acting and a very poignant story. It got panned by a lot of critics. But I think it tells a real story, a story I have heard here, up close and personal, and kind of the disruption of addiction and the chaos it creates, the anxieties, a sense of shame that you are bad, and all of that. I think is very real, and it's a good depiction of it. What this celebrates, of course, what's lifted out by the Republican Party is the Horatio Alger rise. You know, personal determination, hard work will lift you from these circumstances for something better, and it doesn't look at what else. We have to change so that a lot of people have a chance at that. So it's kind of both very poignant, but it's been politically used to pluck out a quite individualist-oriented theme, and it says nothing about really why people get into the fix they've been in, which is what my book is about.
And Arlie Russell Hochschild, the fact that J.D. Vance has called President Trump America's Hitler, talked about in the years past, back in 2016, really his horror about what Donald Trump represented, saying he goes after the people he, J.D. Vance's, loves, like immigrants, talking about Muslims. What about this complete turnaround?
Yeah, and it is paradoxical that people in these, like in Kentucky and elsewhere, that are in fact the migrants to economic powerhouse centers are trying to bar other immigrants, you know, from Mexico or South America from coming in because they've actually, in the domestic world, experienced the immigrant experience, you know? And so that's the paradox. But I think what And I don't know what little switch turned in J.D. Vance's mind to turn him from anti-Trump to pro-Trump. It's easy to say it's self-interest, but I do think that there's something that progressives aren't seeing that is told by a story I learned. There was in a recovery center, there was a man who had was a coal miner. He got injured. He went to the doctor, was given OxyContin for pain management. He got addicted to OxyContin, and that led to other drugs. He became an addict. He lost his family. His wife left him. He lost custody of his children. He became homeless. And that man watched Donald Trump come to Kentucky, and Donald Trump was pumping his fist and saying, I'm going to bring back coal. I'm going to bring back coal. And that man said, I knew Trump was lying. He wasn't going to bring back coal, but I felt he saw who I was.
I wanted to
So
play
we
for you
look at that.
Teamsters President Sean O'Brien, Arlie, who gave the final speech, and this was extremely significant for the president of this major union to be speaking at the Republican National Convention. He spoke last night and the first night.
Never forget, American workers own this nation. We are not renters. We are not tenants, but the corporate elite treat us like squatters, and that is a crime. We've got to fix it. Now, this will shock you. This will shock you. To paraphrase, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. It's time for both sides of Congress to stand their butts up. We need trade policies that put American workers first. It needs to be easier for companies to remain in America. We need legal protections that make it safer for workers to get a contract. We must stop corporations from abandoning local communities to inflate their bottom line. We need meaningful bankruptcy reform. Today, corporate vultures buy up companies like Yellow Freight with the intent of driving them into bankruptcy and feasting on their remains. The courts leave workers begging for crumbs as third-tier creditors. Labor law must be reformed. Americans vote for a union but can never get a union contract. Companies fire workers who try to join unions and hide behind toothless laws that are meant to protect working people but are manipulated to benefit corporations. This is economic terrorism at its best. An individual cannot withstand such an assault. A fired worker cannot afford corporate delays, and these greedy employers know it. There are no consequences for the company, only the worker. We need corporate welfare reform. Under our current system, massive companies like Amazon, Uber, Lyft, and Walmart take zero responsibilities for the workers they employ. These companies offer no real health insurance, no retirement benefits, no pay leave, relying on underfunded public assistance. And who foots the bill? The individual taxpayer. The biggest recipients of welfare in this country are corporations, and this is real corruption. We must put workers first.
So that's Teamsters President Sean O'Brien addressing not the Democratic convention, known as the Party of Labor, but the Republican convention, the first time a Teamsters president has addressed the RNC. As he talks about economic terrorism and corporate predators, as we wrap up, Arlie Russell Hochschild, if you could comment on this, and also his wife, Usha Vance. They met at Yale Law School. She clerked for both Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh.
Yeah. So listening to Sean O'Brien's talk, it makes you wonder why those words aren't coming out of the mouth of Joe Biden and why the Build Back Better and the infrastructure bills that are really helping red states more than blue aren't paired with a kind of empathic, powerful message to the very people that O'Brien is addressing. So there's a giant kind of disconnect between what I think the left liberal side believes, what it who it wants to help, and the message. So we have a lot of work to do in the short number of weeks we have left before this election. And it has to be to straighten that out and to reach out to those who need to know that there's an alternative to Donald Trump.
Arlie Russell Hochschild, sociologist and writer, author of the 2016 bestseller Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right. Her forthcoming book, Stolen Pride, Lost Shame and the Rise of the Right, speaking to us from Pikeville, Kentucky. Coming up, we will speak with the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist David K. Johnston about the Trump-appointed judge Aileen Cannon's shocking decision to dismiss the classified documents case against Donald Trump. And then we'll hear from protesters in the streets here in Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention. Back in 20 seconds.
Chibon, 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 chibon.
People by Freddie Henchy and the Soul Setters. This is Democracy Now!, War, Peace, and the Presidency. We're breaking with convention. I'm Amy Goodman, broadcasting from Milwaukee. As the Republican National Convention opened Monday, Donald Trump scored a major legal victory when a Trump-appointed federal judge in Florida dismissed a criminal case against the former president for illegally keeping classified national security materials and documents after his presidency ended in Mar-a-Lago. Judge Aileen Cannon ruled Attorney General Merrick Garland had no power to appoint Jack Smith as a special counsel. Her ruling stunned many legal experts. The Justice Department plans to appeal the ruling. This all comes after the Supreme Court granted Trump immunity from prosecution for official actions taken as president. Donald Trump reacted to the news Monday by calling for all criminal cases against him to be dismissed. We're joined now by David K. Johnston, Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, co-founder of D.C. Report, the author of three books on Trump, including The Big Cheat, How Donald Trump Fleeced America and Enriched Himself and His Family. He's a professor at Rochester Institute of Technology, speaking to us from Rochester. David K. Johnston, welcome back to Democracy Now! First, if you can respond to the scene last night here in Milwaukee at the Republican convention as President Trump, with a bandage on his right ear after surviving an assassination attempt on Saturday at a speech in Butler, Pennsylvania, sitting next to J.D. Vance, the youngest vice presidential candidate, former Marine, author of Hillbilly Elegy, just a first-time senator. If you can respond to that picture and then talk about the significance of these court decisions.
Well, Donald Trump has picked just one of the many Republicans who were against him on principled grounds. He's unfit. He's unqualified. He doesn't know anything. He's a con artist. He's a criminal. He's a judicially determined rapist. And now embrace him because they don't have any interest here except their own careers. And given that more than a million people have died for this country and the idea of America, being unwilling to stand up on principle should offend every single American, whether you support Donald Trump or not. Now, the ruling by Judge Cannon will not stand in all likelihood. It will be appealed to the 11th Circuit. And what Judge Cannon did was say that under the Constitution, the special prosecutor, Jack Smith, should have gone before the U.S. Senate to be confirmed the way federal court judges are confirmed by the Senate. The problem is there are at least five statutes that authorize the appointment of what's known in the Constitution as an inferior officer and that cover special prosecutors. If you follow the very faulty reasoning in Judge Cannon's opinion, then the prosecution of Hunter Biden would also have to stop, since that was done by a special prosecutor without confirmation by the Senate. This was an opinion in search of a result. And Judge Cannon, from her very first order, when she said Donald Trump should get special treatment, an absolutely offensive thing to say for any federal judge. No one in America under the law is to get special treatment. We are all to be treated equal, as Chief Justice Roberts wrote in an opinion 2 years ago. This is just deeply offensive, and I suspect it will be overturned. But the real result is there is no prospect that Donald Trump will be tried before the November elections. And if he isn't tried before then and Donald Trump gets back to the White House, he will stop the prosecution.
Many people saw this case, the mishandling of the documents, bringing them to Mar-a-Lago. And again, this was dealing with and holding on to these documents was after he was president, as the most clear-cut, open-and-shut case, David.
It absolutely was the strongest and easiest-to-prove case. And other people who have taken a single page from a secure facility have been prosecuted. Here we're talking about boxes and boxes. But, you know, there's another point, Amy, that hardly gets mentioned in the mainstream news. The special prosecutor, in defending his actions, has repeatedly given hypotheticals. Imagine if a former president were to have shared our secrets in return for payment to somewhere. Those hypotheticals were not made up out of whole cloth. We know that Donald Trump gave away one of our most closely guarded secrets, how close our submarines could get to Russian submarines without being detected. We know that he held up and read from documents to a group of completely inappropriate people working on a book. And the clear implication, and I wrote about this August of 2022, is that Donald Trump has no doubt sold or tried to sell national security secrets, because Donald doesn't know anything about global diplomacy. He doesn't know anything about the world. He couldn't tell you the difference between a Sunni and a Shia. He didn't know why we have a memorial at Pearl Harbor for the USS Arizona from Pearl Harbor Day. But he knows value. And super secret things he learned as president, documents he took improperly, illegally, those have a lot of value. And Donald knows value.
Matt Gaetz, the Florida Congressmember, talked about Aileen Cannon as a, quote, future Supreme Court justice, David K. Johnston.
Well, if Trump did that, we could all clearly say, you know, you're effectively offering a bribe in return for favorable treatment. But Trump doesn't need to do that. He appointed Aileen Cannon, who was marginally qualified, and I'm being polite. And Matt Gaetz and many other Republicans, as Mitt Romney, the Republican standard bearer in 2012, said, don't believe in democracy. I mean, that's the real underlying threat. Your previous guest, Arlie, talked very clearly about how Donald Trump is succeeding because he keeps saying at every rally, we love you. Donald, who I've known for 36 years, doesn't love anybody. He doesn't even love himself. But he knows how to appeal to people who feel looked down upon. And that's the sense that they have. So Joe Biden lets Republicans take credit for the infrastructure projects they voted against. And you know what surveys show? Lots of people believe all of this economic improvement was because of laws Trump got passed. They aren't. They're because of laws were passed at the direction of Joe Biden. But he's not out there selling that. The Democrats aren't there selling it. Instead, they've been engaging for 2 weeks in a circular firing squad whose only beneficiary is Donald Trump and J.D. Vance.
And finally, as you talk about J.D. Vance, tell us your reaction to him being the pick as Donald Trump's vice presidential candidate, what he represents, this man who himself described himself as a never-Trumper, who said, I go back and forth between thinking Trump is a cynical a-hole, though he used the word, like Nixon, who wouldn't be that bad and might even prove useful, or that he's America's Hitler. He went on to say things like we're talking about the vilifying of people in this country, et cetera.
You know, Margaret Atwood's nightmare novel, The Handmaid's Tale, is fiction, but it is moving towards reality in America. J.D. Vance wants to allow the tracking of women's menstrual cycles. He asserts that daylight savings time is reducing fertility among the American population, which is as crazy as any crazy thing Donald Trump has said. He supports the Project 2025, which, among other things, would prohibit shipping contraceptives, whether it's condoms or IUDs or the pill, by what's called common carrier. That is, you could only ship if you had your own fleet of trucks that would go from a manufacturing plant to store. This is not a party promoting freedom. This is a party that wants to round up millions of people living in this country. And if you think only people who are here without permission would be rounded up and no American citizens or green card holders, you haven't thought this through very carefully. He wants to take away people's ability to challenge things in the courts. He is anti-worker in numerous ways. And that's what made, by the way, the speech by the Teamsters Union president extraordinary, because everything he talked about is what the Biden administration is working to do and that Donald Trump opposes. Donald Trump and his vice presidential candidate, they're anti-worker, they're anti-individual liberty, they're in favor of controlling women, right down to tracking their menstrual cycles of younger women, which is none of the government's business.
David K. Johnson, I want to thank you for being with us. We've expanded to 2 hours our daily broadcast, and in our other hour, people will hear specifically J.D. Vance's views on abortion and also the whole labor record of Donald Trump as we look at, with Robert Kuttner, the significance of Sean O'Brien's first Teamsters president address to the RNC. David K. Johnson, Pulitzer Prize winning investigative reporter, co-founder of DC Report, has written 3 books on Donald Trump. As we move now to the streets of Milwaukee. This is Breaking with Convention, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman, broadcasting from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Protesters marched outside the Republican National Convention Monday, the march endorsed by more than 100 activist groups, including many that also plan to march in Chicago during the Democratic National Convention. These are some of the voices from the protest.
The RNC, Republican National Convention, has descended in Milwaukee, bringing with it hate and perpetuating violence against communities of color and a right-wing agenda that they plan to implement in 2025. We're calling for many demands. We're the contingency here with USTCN Milwaukee, and our demands are very clear. We need an end to genocide. Under Trump's first administration, he targeted, you know, he made his name on targeting Muslim communities, African communities, communities of color. And we know that, you know, that same hate is actually, like, resulting in the type of political violence that we're seeing nowadays that's not only targeting folks of color, but targeting students on campuses.
My name is Layla, and I'm here because I am not happy with the Republican or Democrat parties. I'm still in high school, but I think that it's important that the world hear our voices, and this is not okay. Free Palestine and free abortion rights and trans rights.
And you have a sticker that says, no human being is illegal, free Palestine. Why do all of these struggles connect for you?
Well, it's the same struggle, just under a different name, whether it's Native American rights, whether it's Palestinian rights, whether it's the South African apartheid in South Africa, it's all the same. And as people, we need to, like, realize our humanity and stand together in our times of crisis. So that's why I think it's so important that we all stand together.
Are you two sisters?
Yeah, yeah.
Sisters. My name is Raya, and I'm here because I don't believe our country is going in the right direction. It's really, really sad, and honestly, I'm not someone who can vote, but if I was someone who could vote, I would be appalled by the options that we're given. We're given a genocidal man and a fascist man, and that is a terrible decision to pick from.
I'm with the Chicago Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression, an executive member and a co-chair of our campaign forum through organization, Campaign to Free Incarcerated Innocent Torture Survivors.
And how do you feel that the Republican nominee, potential nominee for president, is a 34 felony count convicted
felon? It's a damn shame when I got loved ones like these men that's on my shirt. He's been in prison for over a decade fighting for wrongful convictions, but we can have a president with 34 felonies still being able to run to be our president. It's a shame. It's a shame on America for even allowing it. And now the Supreme Court proved to give presidents immunity. It's a shame. That just goes to show.
My name is Brandon Cenas, and I am a member and representing Bayan USA. We're an alliance of anti-imperialist national democratic Filipino organizations across the world. And when Trump was elected, we saw increasing U.S. military presence in the Philippines, right? He was really vying for our homeland to be used for a launching pad for U.S. wars. He funded a violent regime under Rodrigo Duterte to the tune of $2 billion in weapons from war profiteers like Boeing and Lockheed Martin. And we see how connected the struggle here of working class people in the United States is to the working people of the Philippines, where, you know, billions of our taxpayer dollars are being used for weapons, used for war and counter.
insurgency against our people and our homeland, and at the same time depriving our communities here of public health care, housing, education, food, and wages, right? So we're here to oppose another Trump presidency.
So I'm going to go over the barricade, too. There's been a security perimeter set all around the convention center. So we have right now protesters going over the barricade. We have press going over the barricade.
My name is Susan Biedela, and I'm part of the No Line 5 Coalition against the Enbridge pipelines in northern Wisconsin and across the upper Midwest near Lake Superior. Native Coalition. We're standing next to the Milwaukee River, which is closed down for the convention here. And there's a robotic submersible in our river. They've got a giant tear gas and chemical dispersal truck. I think of it more of this is a, you know, I know about Cop City. This is Cop City on steroids. This is Cop City happening right now.
Could you talk about how communities have been impacted by the militarization that has been brought by the RNC? We just went through three security checkpoints. How has that impacted communities here?
You know, it's kind of funny because, like, they really advertise this as being, like, good for business, right? But a lot of businesses are actually suffering. We're in a right-to-work state, so unfortunately a lot of folks don't have access to unions. These people are being told not to come to work for a whole week, which a lot of people cannot afford to do. This brings up a lot of issues, right, that people need their paid time off, right? That, working class people should have been considered in this process, and they were not. And, you know, the city basically rolled out the red carpet for the RNC.
Workers in Milwaukee, under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
When workers are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
What's your message to Teamsters President Sean O'Brien, who is scheduled to speak at the RNC?
Guys, if you want to be part of the union, Trump is a known union buster. He wants to take away our collective bargaining rights. And the problem is that if he takes away those, we are down to not making good wages. We're down to not having safety at our job sites. We're down to somebody not caring enough about the American worker that's putting all this work into everything that we put in this country. My father was an iron worker for 45 years, always voted democratically. He taught me to, hey, this is what we believe in. Unions, you stay together, we're strong together. Divided, we'll fall.
Si se puede! Si se puede!
Si se puede!
Si se puede!
Voices from the protesters who marched outside the Republican National Convention Monday, part of a coalition of 100 activist groups. Special thanks to Democracy Now! Producers on the streets, Messiah Rhodes, Maria Terracena, Han Elias, and Hani Massoud. Stay tuned for another hour of our special Breaking with Convention, War, Peace, and the Presidency coverage right here or at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman, broadcasting from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Greetings, netizens. Join us every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific for Bitcoover FM, featuring the best in chiptune, video game soundtracks, synthesized music, history of electronic instruments, and more, right here on CGSF 90.1 FM. We'll see you in the virtual plaza, and remember to synthesize with nostalgia.